Amen. I was going to keep going, but the Lord told me I got to tell you. So sometimes when you're in the presence of the Lord and you're believing Him for something in your life, the very first thing that happens is you feel that thing. Or it seems like it gets worse. And last week when I was up here, mine was pain in my shoulder and a couple other places in my body that I've been believing for. And the Lord said, I'm here every week to heal. He said, there's no six feet rule for me. He said, I'm walking among the people. I am here to heal. So you got to start saying with your mouth what His word says. Amen. And that was something powerful that I've been doing in my own life, is every morning when you get ready, you have to look in the mirror, right? So you look in that mirror and you say, in Jesus' name, you are made whole. And people go, oh, Shelly, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Well, you know what? I don't have any of my pain this week. So you can call it silly if you want to, but I already tested it, already proven it, and so now I'm sharing it with you. When that symptom arises, you say, no. In the name of Jesus, I went forward on Sunday. That was my act of faith. So my body now has to line up with the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Sorry, we got a lot of feedback. We're not. Is that better? Maybe I was too close to that one. Is that better? Okay, there we go. Sorry. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You have to keep speaking to that thing, because the enemy sure doesn't stop. He just keeps coming. And you know what his favorite time is? When it's quiet. When you're driving in your car and there's nobody around. Right? This is going to happen. That pain's still there. This is going to, and what about this? And you know what your grandma and your uncle and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. It's still there. It's still there. To the point where I just started praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He knows something's coming. He may not know exactly, but He knows my healing is on the way, and He's trying extra hard. So I'm praising you, Lord, even more for my healing today. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you go, whoa, it's gone. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to get aggressive. If someone came into your house and tried to hurt one of your kids, would you just go, oh, okay? No. We would fight tooth and nail, right? Well, guess what? The devil's trying to come into your house to mess with someone in your house. So the rest of you rally around. And if you're by yourself, that's okay. Jesus is right there with you. He's always interceding for you. So you grab your intercessor, Jesus, and you speak to that thing and you command it to go in the name of Jesus. Amen? And I don't stop there. I figure if He stole something from me, like my healing or my health or my peace, well, He's going to repay sevenfold. So I start thinking of other things in my life. Well, while you're at it, you can just add this and this. I start praying for other people that also need a healing, believing God to touch their lives. Why do I do that? Because I figure I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. Remember that story from last week? I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. Amen? Okay, now we'll get on to tithes and offerings. But you can't let go. You can't let down. You've got to stay active. Because in case you didn't know, the devil doesn't take a vacation. But I'll tell you what, he gets tired of being whooped. And he just, oh, great, she's going to do that thing again. She's going to start speaking and telling her body what to do. And, well, there you go. I'm going to lose. I might as well just leave. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Open up your Bibles. Last week we started on part one of 2 Kings chapter, what was 6 last week, and this week we're going to be looking at 7. And just a recap, this city has been besieged, which means they're surrounded. They haven't been able to get in and out. When you're besieged by an army, you shut your gates. The gates are closed, right? They can't get any food in. And remember the prize food that they paid a fortune for last week? The dove dung, if I can say it right, and a donkey's head. Not exactly my delicacy, right? Dove poop and a donkey's head. I know, right? But that's how desperate they had become. And the king was angry. And who was he angry at? God. Bless his soul. She's blaming the things that are going wrong on the Lord. But the Lord's not there to get after. So who does he go after? The man of God. Amen? And we saw that The Lord had told Elisha in advance, the king's coming, shut the door. And don't just shut it, press on it, keep it shut. Keep evil out. And that's what we talked about. We've got to keep evil out. How many of you went home and did your assignment? To ask the Lord if there was anything in your life that needed to be shut, closed, and you shut it. If you didn't, don't wait another minute. As soon as you're out of here, you shut that door. We've got to shut out evil because it's trying to get in to kill, steal, and destroy. So I told you last week was a great one, but this one's even better. Amen? Here we go. Now we're going to talk about floodgates. Woo! I love me some floodgates. Okay, then in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. How many people know it's good when you got something coming against you that you listen to the word of the Lord? Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seath of flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seeths of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So basically what he's saying is chump change tomorrow is going to be buying barley and wheat. There's going to be so much food that people are going to be paying pennies. Wait a minute. They paid a fortune for the dove dung, and now they're going to pay pennies for wheat? Well, now we're going to see. You heard the voice of the Lord. Now here's the mocker. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make the floodgates of heaven open, could this thing be? And all the people said, yes. Amen? That's not what he said. And he said, how could this be? And he said to him, in fact, that's Elisha, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. So many times when a word of the Lord comes, we have a choice. Are we going to be on the yes and amen side? Or are we going to be on the mocking side? But I'm here to tell you, when a floodgate opens, it's so much that you cannot contain it. Amen? All right. So now we go to the next part of the story. And in verse 3 to quite a ways down is the story about four lepers. And I love this. The lepers cannot be inside the city. Because why? They have leprosy. So it says that they're by the entrance of the gate. So are they inside the gate or the outside? They're on the outside, right? But they're hovering close for protection. Amen? And they realized, they said, you know what? We're going to die. We might as well just go over to the enemy camp, see if they'll give us a little something to eat, and, you know, maybe throw some food at us. And if we perish, we perish. That was their thought. But see, what nobody realized is that Elisha's word from the Lord had come true. And God had gone before his people, and he had literally wiped through this camp and scared them to death, and they all ran away. But they left everything that was in their camp. Now just picture this. You have these four guys who haven't eaten in a long time, and they walk up to this camp, and there's supposed to be hundreds and thousands of people, and there's nobody there. And they go into one tent, and look, there's nothing, but there's food. And so they started grabbing food. They go in the next tent, grabbing food. And then they're grabbing the jewels. They're grabbing the money. They're loading themselves up. And at one point, one of them says, this is terrible. We're feasting, and the rest of the city has no idea. Let's go back there and let them know what's going on. So it says that they went back, and they told them, guess what? The enemy is gone. And what does the king said? I believe the word of the Lord. No, that's not what he said. He said this, it's a trap. The enemy's trying to trap us. So he sent spies. And lo and behold, guess what? The lepers were right. And so the king finally opened the gates. And so many people rushed forth that the guard that was guarding, the same officer that had said, if God's going to open the floodgates of heaven, it still wouldn't be enough, right? The same mocker was trampled underneath. He saw the goodness of the Lord, but he didn't get to partake in it. The question today is, which side are you on? Are you a believer or are you a mocker? I'm here to tell you, if you're a mocker, I can pretty much tell you what's going to happen in your life. The floodgate's going to come, and it's going to go right past you. You're not going to get to enjoy it. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the word of the Lord and say, yes and amen. Amen? I want to be with those who get to enjoy the bounty. And in verse 20, we see the word of the Lord is fulfilled, and it says, let's back up a little bit. In verse 19 or 18, so it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two sieves of barley for a shekel and a sieve of flour for shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate. And in verse 20, and so it, oh, whoops, sorry, 19, then that officer had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord would make the floodgates of heaven open, could such a thing be? And Elisha said, in fact, you will see with your own eyes, but you won't eat it. And so it happened to him, for he was trampled and died before he partook. God's word is true, and he is faithful. We need to shut the door on evil, but when the word of the Lord comes, you best be ready to say your yes and amen, because we don't want to be mocking, we want to be partaking. Amen? I don't know about you, but the last time that I heard about a floodgate of heaven opening up was in Genesis. And it opened up, and guess what happened to the whole earth? It was flooded. And in Malachi 3, it says, if you bring all your tithes into the storehouse, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. When the floodgates were open for this city, they went from dove dung to giving pennies away for flour and barley because there was so much excess. Do you see what happened? Was this weeks, months after the word of the Lord? No, one day, not even 24 hours, and everything turned around. I'm here to tell you today, the floodgate in your life, all it takes is for God to open it, and everything can turn around. I've shared with you before, but our finances have taken such a turn as your pastors. I know it's coming down. So if it's not here yet, don't freak out. It's coming. But our finances have so turned around. I'm planting a seed, right? Now listen to this. I'm planting a seed. 10 minutes later, I walk to my mailbox, and I get like 150 times what I planted. Do you see what I'm saying? Floodgates. This isn't the first time. This isn't the second time. It's not the third. It's not the fourth. This has got, we got to be on to our 10th or 20th here, where God just keeps pouring out. And you know what he told me when I opened up the envelope and I saw inside? It was something I completely didn't know about, didn't plan for, just showed up, okay? And the Lord told me, I said, oh, Lord, wow, you are so good. Thank you so much, Lord. I had forgotten what I had done 10 minutes before. Now, listen to this. I was praising the Lord, and I was thanking him for once again for his provision. And I heard him say, I was watching. I was like, watching, Lord? And he's like, I told you to do something as a whisper. And you didn't hesitate. You just went and did it. And here's this. Do you see how powerful it is when you hear the word of the Lord that you do what he's told you to do? Because I can't tell what's going to be in my mailbox, but God can tell what's going to be in your mailbox. God can tell what can show up into your account. God can tell what blessings are coming. God can tell. God can tell. Lacey, a couple weeks ago, felt like she was supposed to give an offering. Didn't make sense in the natural because she's got summer school coming up that she really wanted to do. But she gave the offering in faith, and she sowed a seed, a big one. We get a letter, or she gets an email from her school. Oh, by the way, we got extra money, so you get extra money. That doesn't add up in the natural, right? Why would you plant a seed when you have a need? Because the need is greater than the seed. And we need to be obedient when we hear the word of the Lord. We need to act. Amen? Now, Lindsay, the other day, was like, but Mom, what, how do you know sometimes if it's the if you're doing the right thing or if it's just you? And we were explaining to her, when it's about giving, you really can't outgive God. Amen? But if he told you to do something with the money in the first place, you best be doing that first. Amen? And then if he has something else for you, he'll provide that seed for you to give. Amen? But if you're listening to the voice of the Lord and you're stepping out in faith, you can't give God too much. It'll always come back. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want some floodgates in my life, because we've got nations that need to be funded fully so they can keep on ministering and not have to stress. The Mishler family found out recently that a family that has been supporting not just Randy and Louie, not just his parents, but his grandparents, for three generations, just let them know that they'll no longer be able to support. And I said, okay, Lord, Redeemed Church, we need to step up and fill that. Amen? And so let's be praying and believing God for the increase there, so the increase can come into the house of the Lord, so that we can keep these missionaries funded. Amen? I've told you my heart. It's ridiculous that they have to come home and beg for money. I'm done with that. I want to believe that our missionaries are so have such abundance that they're able to give. Amen? That only happens when the windows of the floodgates are opened and the blessing is poured out. All right, grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for this word today. A shut door to shut out evil and an open floodgate to pour out the blessing. Father, today I pray, help us not to be mockers. Help us not to be mockers when we hear the word of the Lord, but help us to say yes and amen and to do it, to act on it. Because God, we want to be part of the end time transfer of wealth that will be blessed to be a blessing so that we can give to every good work. We are Abraham's, part of Abraham's seed, and we want to be blessed so that we can bless the nations around us. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father, for the open floodgates that are above this church, for the open floodgates that are above every family represented here. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for wisdom for what to do with it when it comes, and for the obedience to act on that wisdom. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you. It's not a one-time thing. Let me say it again. It is not a one-time thing. We are moving into a realm of blessing like we've never seen before, because God has a work to be done in the world, and we are going to be a part of it, because we as a church have chosen to say yes and amen. And we just praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that is sown in the sower. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray over this word. Father, we thank you for your blessing on today's message. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. We thank you for the beautiful love of Jesus that we just heard about in that beautiful song. And we're here, Lord, to honor you. We're here to honor you, Lord. What you did was so important to us. What you did was, there's no way to put into words how valuable it is what you did on our behalf. And we're here to receive it, to thank you for it all. And we just praise you now in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. God is so good. Well, I want to continue on our message entitled, The Blood of Jesus is God's Mercy Poured Out. And maybe, Lane, could you bump the lights up just a hair? I kind of turned it down a little bit while Lindsay was singing there. But our foundation text is Matthew 26, verse 28. Yeah, thank you, Lane. Matthew 26, verse 20. Does anybody need a copy of the notes? Because we have many. If you need it, you can just raise your hand and we'll get it to you. Otherwise, we'll just go for it here. Praise the Lord. Okay. And our foundation text says this. For this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out for many for the complete forgiveness of sins. Somebody say complete forgiveness. Hallelujah. So we have a Savior who is a very complete Savior. Amen. I think there was probably more than one time in grade school I got a paper back from the teacher saying, incomplete. It wasn't even worthy of any grade yet. It was incomplete. Stephen, go back to your seat and finish your paper, right? Or maybe I forgot to put my name on it or something, you know? And you get the red marks, I. It wasn't an A, it wasn't an F, it was an I. Incomplete. Well, somebody say what Jesus did was a complete work of salvation on our behalf, amen? And so that verse in Matthew 26, verse 28, for this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out. Somebody say poured out. For many, for the complete forgiveness of sins. And that word poured out is the word shed in the Old King James, which means to gush, to pour out. Somebody say gush, right? And last week we talked about when they, you know, a lot of the movies can't really do justice to what Jesus actually endured, right? I mean, when they whipped him, it wasn't just these little stripes. It was tearing his flesh away. And blood was gushing out of his back, right? When they pressed the crown of thorns into his head, blood was gushing out of his head, right? When they put the nails in his wrists and in his feet, blood was gushing out of his body. It was a, you know, no human being really could have endured what he endured. A lot of men would die just from the beating that he took before the cross. And then after he died and they pierced his side, blood and water gushed out of his side, right? Amen? So this idea of pouring is what God wants us to be looking at today. To run greedily out. And we talked last week that God, when it comes to you, God is very greedy. He wants you in heaven. He wants his family, the people that he's created to make heaven. He doesn't want people to miss out on eternal life. Eternal life is wonderful. Eternal death is awful. Eternal life is beyond words wonderful. Eternal death is beyond words awful. Amen? So God is very greedy. And it says the blood ran greedily out of Jesus' body. Shed means abroad, forth, to spill. His blood was spilled. The word pour out of the dictionary means words, it says this kind of thing. This is a great word picture. To emit or propel, especially continuously or rapidly. Continuously or rapidly. The blood of Jesus flows continuously. It's, somebody say, it's always available, right? To forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me, to heal me. So many believers stop at think salvation is just getting to heaven, which if we had to pick one thing, that would be the one thing to pick, amen? Because in 10,000 years, it doesn't matter how my knee feels right now. In 10,000 years, it doesn't matter what my bank account says at this very moment, right? But somebody say he's a complete Savior, right? So he also healed my body. Amen? He also prospered me, set me free from depression and sorrow and strife and all these things the world and the devil tries to put on humanity. Amen? So there's a continual flow of the blood of Jesus available for us. Rapidly, I think of, you know, rapids. I remember when I was like in eighth grade, maybe Luke's age, I went on a rafting trip with a friend of mine and his family. In Sun River. And there's the one part, if you've ever been rafting, where everybody gets to jump out of the raft and you just kind of bob around in the water. Well, I kind of started bobbing around and floating away from the raft. And I'm an eighth grader. Pretty soon I noticed everyone's in the raft but me. And our instructor, the guy that was, you know, in charge, he had kind of a British accent. He was like, Steve, why don't you start making your way over here, Steve? And as I'm coming around the corner, I see rapids coming rapidly toward me, right? And he says, Steve, actually, we're going to come get you. And so they all paddled. And I was redeemed that day. I was rescued. Amen? The blood of Jesus runs forth rapidly. It's there the instant someone says, Lord, right? Think of the Apostle Paul, the shortest salvation prayer ever. He falls off of his horse, Lord, who are you? Amen. He is ready now. Somebody say, he's ready now. Ever driven by Denny's and it says, always open? Well, as long as we're on this side of the rapture, amen, he's always open, always ready to receive more. Amen? That's why in a building like this and in churches all over town, there is room for more. Praise God. We have seats for more, room for more, places. I was driving through town the other day seeing all these church buildings and thinking, man, even if every one of these church buildings in town was packed, it wouldn't be enough room for people that want to come in and get saved. Amen? So he's ready. Somebody say, he's ready. He's ready now. It means, pour means to send flowing or falling. So he sent the blood of Jesus, didn't he? Flowing or falling as from one container to another. So this blood, we received communion this morning, and we're receiving an infilling of the blood of Jesus, right? From the container of heaven, from the container of the body of Jesus to you, to me. This transfer of power, this transfer of the blood of Jesus is on us, it's in us, amen? And so many people are afraid of spreading a virus, but the devil is afraid of people spreading the gospel, amen? People spreading the glory. People spreading faith. Amen? Somebody say, that's who the church is. Richard, can I have you come up here for a minute? I was reading the back of your shirt this morning. That is a cool shirt. Yeah, yeah. He's got the crosses on the front. And I want to read the back of it. It says, Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Somebody say, by his wounds we are healed. Thank you, Richard. Amen. Praise God. It's a living demonstration right there. But I was thinking about that being on his back, right? By his wounds we were healed. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity. Do you know there was a moment when the Father turned his back on his Son? Right? Rejected him. Absolutely rejected him. There was a separation between Jesus and his Father. That was probably the worst part of the torment for Jesus, was being separated from his Father. But because, that's why I love that illustration there, Richard, is because God the Father turned his back on Jesus that moment means he will never turn his back on you. Amen? If we simply turn to him, doesn't mean I can't turn my back on him. Amen? But he will never, somebody say never, never turn his back on you because Jesus endured that for me. Right? So no matter what kind of day I'm having, what kind of issue I'm facing, all I got to do, somebody say, is turn to Jesus. Somebody to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to look at, we're not going to take a ton of time today because we have some other things to do, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14, I want to look at that this morning, and we're going to talk about we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, we'll begin at verse 7. And in Ephesians, a lot of the epistles like this, look at where it says, in him, in whom, in Christ. Highlight those because that's where he's called us to be, is in him. Amen? That's our place of safety, our place of peace, our place of the blessing of God is in him. Verse 7 says, in him, somebody say, in him. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together. Somebody say, gather together. Isn't it interesting that the devil has attacked our ability to gather together? Right? Praise God for Texas. Right now, and states like that, that have said, you know, just because we're wearing masks, right, and social distancing and all these kind of things, we're honoring our leaders, but it doesn't mean that I personally think it's, hey, that's I would rather not, honestly, amen? There's plenty of other places that they're not, right? But we're honoring our leaders, amen? Until they start saying you can't preach the gospel, then, well, later for you, right? But right now we're honoring them, amen? But talks about being in him, gathering together. Somebody say, gather together. That's why we have church. In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Somebody say, in him. In him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. A couple more verses. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, somebody say, in him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So the devil therefore wants to shut off, shut down the word of truth. How many know the world needs the word of truth now more than ever? Amen? Not just hot air, words of truth. There's some people that I hear talking that are broadcasted that I just flat out don't trust them. It's like, can I believe anything that person is saying? I commit that to Jesus, right? I honor the office, but I don't trust a word they're saying. How many know what I'm talking about, right? So what do? We stick to Jesus. We pray for them. We pray for our leaders. We vote. Amen. We preach the gospel, but we're sticking with Jesus. Somebody say, I'm sticking with Jesus. Amen. And one thing I heard Andrew Womack say this week really struck a chord with me. He was talking about a young lady that began to attend his college, Charis Bible College, who was a full-on liberal, pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, and yet a believer. There's a lot of people like that, guys, that are, you know, in politics or whatever, that think all these crazy, you know, things people are pushing are just loving people. Just let people know that. But see, what she came to him later after beginning to attend his college is she was like, Brother Andrew, I just didn't know what was in the Bible. She's like, I love God, but I didn't know the truth. Now, there's a lot of people like that in the world that love God genuinely. They just don't know him. They don't know what's in the Bible. That's why church is good. That's why hearing teaching and preaching from the Word of God. That's why reading your own Bible. Amen? We need to be people that know what's in the Bible. That way, when you come even to our church and you hear me teaching up here, You'll be able to say, I don't know about that, Pastor Steve. I'm gonna have to go look into that, right? I mean, there's things, I've shared this before, there's things that I've heard my own self say, like, months later, and be like, what was I talking about? And I'll go back and say, I'm never going to say that again. I'll get corrected by the Holy Ghost, right? So he shows us, but the word of truth is hugely important, amen? The gospel of your salvation, in whom, somebody say, in whom, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Don't forget the Holy Spirit, church. He's the one that was sent to be with us until Jesus' return. Amen? The Holy Ghost is doing a lot. You know, you kind of get it in your head, the devil's found a way in, the devil's gotten in the door, and the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. The Holy Ghost spoke to me this week, and he goes, Steve, I'm also just looking for a way in. Don't you know, if the Holy Ghost can just get a wedge, look out. Look the heaven out. It's true. If we just give the Holy Ghost a door, man, I'll tell you what, he's going to turn the city upside down for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. Well, in him you also trusted, verse 4, we're down to verse 14, the Holy Ghost, who is the guarantee. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Somebody just say, praise, praise, praise the Lord forevermore. So verse 7 is the verse I want to focus on here for just a moment. It says, in him, somebody say, in him, I have redemption through his blood. Right? Who can name one thing, just shout it out through your mask, one thing you've been redeemed from? From? Huh? The curse? Somebody said fear. The curse is good, but what is the, how do you know the difference between the curse and the blessing? Is cancer ever a blessing? Some people would say it could be. What, give me an example of what is the curse. Sickness, I heard somebody say. Poverty, right? These things aren't the blessing of God. Now, how about something you're redeemed to? Healing. Amen. Prosperity, right? Joy. All these things. So it's good to know what he's redeemed us of, from, but also what he has redeemed me to. Amen. But it's all about the power of the blood. So when it says in him, somebody say in him. So we're not talking about in myself, right? Not talking about faith in a denomination or in the church. Faith in my good works, faith in my good looks, faith in my citizenship. No, none of that. We're talking about somebody say, in him, right? We have, not we will have, we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus is God's mercy poured out on us. Amen? The word mercy means his love, his loving kindness, his favor, right? So in him we have redemption through his blood. That is the best news ever, church. Right? That means if, I don't know about you, but sometimes I see the curse trying to come in the house. Trying to come into my body. But I know this word is true. And we got the Holy Ghost. And we got each other. And we got the Bible. This book right here, I've had people tell me before, I remember we were advertising Bloodbot years ago in downtown Portland, just passing out tickets, invitations. And this one guy comes up, oh, that sounds like a vampire movie. One guy's like, can Mormons come? Yes. Another guy was like, is Jesus going to be there in the flesh? Well, that kind of threw me. Jesus going to be there? Kind of this chippy attitude. I was like, well, how do you answer that? Well, then I ain't going to be there either. All right, c'est la vie. I'll ponder that one. Of course, he's there in the spirit. Amen. But Brother Copeland has taught before, and I love this, that this book right here, your Bible, is as much a manifestation of God as Jesus himself in the earth. Amen? So somebody say, keep it handy. Be studying, be learning. So in him we have redemption through his blood, and redemption means words like ransom in full. That's why we need to be in our words so we know what we've been ransomed from, what we've been ransomed to. I've been at funerals before of godly people, and they'll talk about, oh, she bore her cross. She carried her suffering. She bore that sickness like a champ. And now she's in the glory. That's the curse, man. We got to stop talking about the curse like it's the blessing, because it is not. Amen? Praise God, she's with Jesus. But I'll guarantee you that Jesus didn't put that on anyone to teach. Well, what about the scripture that says, bear your cross, pick up your cross and follow me? You're going to be suffering as Jesus suffered. Well, there's persecution for the blessing, church. You are so blessed that the world hates you. You are so well, so blessed, so anointed that backslidden Christians are offended at your presence. How come you're not so fearful like the rest of us? What makes you so special? I'm a Christian too. Well, do you know him though? Do you know what's in your Bible? Don't let anybody ever talk you out of anything that's in the contract for you. Even if they're not experiencing it, even if they don't believe it, even if they've been taught against it, if it's in the book, it's for you. Amen? But the Holy Ghost, church, we're talking about the Holy Ghost too. We can't forget the Holy Ghost. Amen? Like Easter, you know, one thing that we can remember about the egg is a good symbol sort of God in that it's all an egg, but there's the shell, there's the egg white, and there's the yolk, but it's all the egg. So it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but they're all God. Amen? So we can't forget the Holy Ghost, who's here to work with us, to lead us, to guide us. And what he does, church, is he'll take this word, because we can't just read this word without the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you read this word without the Holy Ghost, that nutty things can start happening, right? I've heard people tell, like people say before, well, Abraham had multiple wives, why can't I? Where'd you get that, right? Where did God give you permission for that, right? Somebody say no, no. Or, hey, you don't just need this book, you also need the Book of Mormon, because the Book of Mormon takes this and there's errors in this and it's incomplete. Well, we just read up here that it says Jesus completed the work of salvation. So there's no errors. Somebody say no errors. No incompletions. So when I read a commentary or an article from Brother Copeland, that doesn't replace this. Right? That's just something the Lord is showing them that I can learn from. And, you know, and just because I see something on the Victory Network doesn't mean that I just agree with everything I hear. There's sometimes I hear things I'm like, yeah, I just don't really understand that, or I'm not really sure about that. But I love the spirit of it, man. And most of it, man, I'm right. But you know what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost is in you to teach you, to lead you and guide you. And he'll take this word and he'll show you what is in it that Jesus has redeemed you from and what he's redeemed you to. He'll take this word and he'll show you what Jesus did as your example and what Jesus did as your replacement. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. He is so good, church, right? So redemption means ransom in full, deliverance, salvation, riddance. Don't you know, he wants us to be totally rid of the curse. Amen. Praise God. It's going to take some on fire, Holy Ghost, believing, Jesus loving Christians to help a sinner get saved, right? To point somebody to Jesus, to get a supernatural work done in a city, in a community. But finally, we'll close with Titus 3, 4 through 7 there. It talks about the outpouring from heaven. Somebody just say, I'm open to the outpouring, Lord. You can lift your hands like a funnel and just say, fill me up, Jesus. Fill me up, right? Amen? But before you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we got to make sure we're born again, right? If we can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without being born again, otherwise we don't know what spirit we're getting. Because there's a lot of spirits in the world. God is spirit, devil is spirit, right? And so someone can't just receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember the example of the sorcerer, Simon? And he came to the apostles and said, give me this power. Give me this power. He sees them doing these miracles, and he doesn't care nothing about getting saved. He just wants that power. Dangerous. Dangerous. Now, there's an example in the Bibles where someone gets baptized, but they're already, I'm talking about someone who's already saved, and they get baptized first in water and then receive the Holy Ghost. There's other example of someone who got baptized in the Holy Ghost and then got baptized. Amen? But the first step is always, somebody say, get saved. Give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. But this outpouring from heaven in Titus 3, 4 through 7, it says this. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, somebody say, that's the mercy. That's the mercy of God. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know what? That is, again, the most glorious news I could ever hear. I don't have to try to earn this thing from God, which is other religions teach that you have to earn your way out of the mess you're in. Spin enough beads, climb enough stairs, knock on enough doors, pass enough flyers, outweigh your evil with good, or you'll come back as a crawfish. You know, or your ancestors, you need to get in touch with your dead ancestors and make sure, you know, these things are just lies. The Bible calls them doctrines of men and doctrines of devils. This is how simple salvation is. It's simply recognizing I can't earn it myself. Someone had to do this for me. Like my driveway yesterday. I started digging in my driveway, and I have a side piece that I want to cement, and this other piece where my truck is sinking into the ground and needed gravel. And my father-in-law had mercy on me. He showed up and he saw my ignorance. And he saw that Steve needs help. And you know, him and Luke and the kids helped too. But man, they pitched in and we have everything done. I hardly had to lift a finger. Said, thank you, Dad. Thank you for showing me mercy. Well, God's kind of like that. He saw us in the mess we were in and realized, you know what? There's nothing I'm talking about from Adam, okay? From Adam. Somebody say, from Adam. He saw the mess that humanity was going to be in. And he said, you know what? We're going to have to help them with this. We're going to have to help them do something they can't do for themselves. Glory to God. And then, right, Jesus rises again from the dead, and he sends the Holy Ghost on us to help us. Amen. To help me, Brother Keith's been teaching a series at his church called Resist the Devil. Don't you know, without the Holy Ghost, I can't do that. Without the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, the devil's just going to be running over my head all day long, right? But with the Holy Ghost, somebody say, greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. So, Titus 3, 4, as we close here. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Somebody say mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing, somebody say washing. Regeneration, say regeneration. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out. Somebody say poured out. On us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Didn't John say this about Jesus? He said, man, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's a greater one coming after me. And he will baptize you in fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? Somebody say glory to God. Holy fire. Somebody say, Lord, I received the holy fire. What's fire do? It purifies. It destroys things that need to be destroyed, doesn't it? It's a power source, isn't it? Amen? And it burns brightly. I remember when we went to see Jesse Duplantis down at his ministry headquarters. And, you drive down to Destrehan? Yeah. And they've got these factories that are like these giant pillars, and fire is shooting out the top. And at nighttime, man, you can see it. It's like, woo, is that an angel up there? Somebody say fire. The fire of God on the inside of his people. And finally, verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. So the blood of Jesus is God's mercy poured out, and we receive him as our Lord. We receive all he's done, and we receive his Holy Spirit. Just stand up on your feet right now as we pray, and hallelujah. Praise God. Lacey, can you go let mom know we're wrapping up? Thanks. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and just say, I receive Jesus Christ and his work that he's done for me. I commit my life to you, Lord. And I thank you for the mighty work you did on my behalf. And now say, I receive the Holy Ghost. I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in other tongues. Begin to pray it out in other tongues. Kole vishato kelada. Kelada vibeshito kelada. What is that? It's evidence that that you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Kelo de shitala vibe nando. Kela de shitala nando gene. Pray it out. Koshe tele vibando shitala vibeando. Kelo vobeshite. Receive the Holy Ghost afresh, the outpouring of God's mercy, enabling you to live for Jesus, enabling you to prosper and be in health, enabling you to burn brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, enabling us to live above the curse and in the blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Just enjoy the Holy Ghost, church. He is there for you 24/7. You feel fear coming on, you feel strife or anger or sickness, just begin to koshetabe pekela in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this off my life, and I stand under the blood today. And you just pray. Walk your house. You can do it under your breath at work. Amen. You can do it while you're Zooming. You can do it in the grocery store right now because they can't see your mouth. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.